Okay, praise God. I trust that you are well and that the Lord is keeping watching over your life. It's such a good day that God has given us. I know we're in different time zones, so I will say good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Just to introduce myself, my name is Dr. Emmanuel Sommer, and I thank God for the opportunity to be before you. Through this platform, this is the worship space, and this is a platform that has been set up by Apostle Cleophas Tabaya, who is a worship leader all the way from Zimbabwe, and he took the liberty to invite me to join in with him, and I'm excited about this because it gives us an opportunity to speak and to share God's word. I know this is a platform of worshipers. This is a platform of persons who've been focused on the word of God and who are keen about growing in aspects of worship. So today we're going to speak about a message that is called A Distinction of the Sounds. And you'd wonder, what does that mean, and where does that come from? So we're going to tackle this aspect of a distinction of the sounds. And our message comes all the way from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 6, and we're going to read some verses there, and from there we're going to have an understanding of what the scriptures say. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 6, the Bible says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you are zealous for spiritual gifts. Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." Verse 13, "Therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my spirit understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding." Now, I'll take a pause there, and by the grace of God, I'm going to bring a parallel as to why I want to speak about worship, and at the same time, I'm reading a scripture about speaking in tongues. Now, Paul is one of the key leaders of the early times that goes into great depth to speak to us about order in the church, about how we should minister to people and how we should exercise gifts. And if you go earlier to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're going to see a passage of scripture where he speaks about that there are diversities of gifts, and but the same spirit. And he brings out this aspect of God, that God is a God of diversity. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, it says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." And the Bible says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Now, in those nine gifts that are listed there, you find that they are classified in terms of, they are the prophetic gifts, and then they are the gifts, the vocal gifts, and then they are the gifts of power. So There is what which is prophetic, which is revelation, or gifts of revelation, which is bringing forth that which is hidden. So you'd find the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then you'd find also faith. But then there is the gifts of power, in which faith comes, healing comes, working of miracles. But then there are also, there are the vocal gifts, which is now where the person prophesies, where there is the prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of speaking in tongues, and then the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, linking speaking in tongues and the aspect of singing, it is because they're both vocal gifts, and they're principles that we can learn from how Paul teaches about how we are to exercise our gift of speaking in tongues, or our gift in tongues, and how we can exercise our gift of worship that God has given us. Now, you and I may be worshippers, and I know everyone should be a worshipper, but of course there are those who have the gift of leading others into worship. I mean, there are various definitions of worship. I mean, I'm sure you've had more than enough, but a simple definition is telling someone they're worthy, or ascribing worship to someone that deserves worthiness. So when you find that God is worthy and you ascribe your worship to Him, then you're basically releasing what is your virtue. You're expressing yourself, you're expressing your love, your power, you're expressing everything that you have. You're giving of yourself and you're giving it to God. Now that is worship. Now, when we come to now expressing ourselves in worship, there are various forms. There's clapping of your hands, there's singing, there's praising, there's dancing, there's laying down, there's giving, there's fasting, you know, there's tithing. All these are various forms of worship. There's sacrificing. All these are various forms of worship. But then when it comes now to singing and to worship, then we bring the aspect of the distinction in the sounds. Now, when we speak about the vocal gifts, There is this expression where people will just speak in tongues and not be understood. And you can easily come to speak to people, or you can come to worship before people, and you are only profiting yourself. Now this is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with profiting yourself, but you see, as worship leaders, there's a point where we are called, when we stand before people, that we bring worship to God. We are bringing them so that they can also be edified. Now, if you think about it, when it was speaking about, so the distinction in the sounds is that when you're coming to offer a sound of worship unto God, the question is it clear? Is there clarity in your worship? In that, do we understand the purpose as to why you're bringing that worship unto God, that song unto God, that sound unto God? Now, also we need to ask ourselves, what is the edification that comes from that song? And you can see about, when you're speaking about those that come to you, if it comes to you by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, then we can see that that aspect of ministration was edifying the church, in that it brought revelation, it brought knowledge, it brought prophesying, it brought about a teaching. Now you'd ask yourself, so is it possible to do the same even in music, even in worship? Yes. And this is where the distinction in sounds, the distinction in worshipers comes in. Because I mean, you can think of all the kind of great worshippers that we have, and maybe just case study, Danson, or Minister Danson Oyekan. One of the things that he says is that he does not write songs. He receives revelations from God and he sings revelations. And what does he do? The effect of that worship that he brings is that it comes to be, it's like you're being taught, you're being brought to an understanding, and you're being brought to a point of revelation in which he has entered into. Now, in the same way that the person that is being told not to speak in tongues, he will not profit, but you, if you prophesy to people and you bring a revelation, you bring a knowledge, you bring a prophecy, you teach, then you're able to edify others. Now, if you're going to be a worshiper and you want to bring edification to the church, then it is necessary that then you ask yourself, of this song that I am writing, of this song that I am bringing into worship, what aspect of them do they either edify? So does it bring a revelation? So is your song forming a basis for a revelation? Number one, is it bringing a form of knowledge? Are we learning something? And I can just give an interesting story I once had. And this was about, I think it's Don Moen, who was looking for the next sound. No, he was looking like for the next sound in worship, the next worshippers. And that was a time that they were about to discover Hillsong, you know, and Darlene Check. But you see, how did he discover them? He said that he heard that there was revival in Australia. Now, when he heard that there was revival in Australia, then he knew that there is good teaching. And because there is good teaching, then you will not miss great worship or great worshippers. So he was linking that where the people are taught well, then songs come out of those teachings that they are taught. So where there's great teaching, you're going to find great worship. Any church that is doing well in terms of its teaching, in terms of its revelation, in terms of its prophesying, will always find that it also has a great worship team. Why? Because people understand they're being edified, they're being built, and because they are able, they're being built in their inner man, they are able to translate the same teaching, the same revelation, the same prophecy, the same expression that is coming from the pulpit, and they're able to translate it to songs, and then these songs come out as worship unto God, and these are the songs that go out into the world. Now, we speak about, it says that now, if I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying or teaching, that is when I will profess you. Profit you. Now, verse 7 says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or what is played? Now, when you think about an instrument, and by the grace of God, I happen to play the saxophone, it has countless of notes and instruments and aspects of the note that you have to learn in the process. Why? So that you can have variation. The difference between the experts and those who are learning, they still play the same chords, whether it is G, C, D, but then there is a variation that they bring. There is a distinction in the sounds that they bring, and that is what distinguishes them. Now, this distinction that is here, the word here is the differentiation that is there. Now, when you're going to grow into the next level in your place of worship, in your impact in worship, you've already understood the edification part. So edification comes first, in that your worship is to not only edify yourself, but you also edify the church. And remember, of course, worship, the audience is God. Let's not forget that. Let's not mix that. But now we've already understood worship, the audience is God, but now we're speaking about the worshiper or the worship leader and the impact that is going to have for the generations to come. It is only one when they edify the church. And how do they edify the church? By bringing revelation, by bringing knowledge, by bringing prophecy, or by bringing teaching. Now, how you will weave that into your worship, into your song, into the worship session is what makes the difference between ministering to people or just singing. The people who get on stage, they just sing and they go. But then there are those who get on stage and they already have a word from the Lord. They have a word of knowledge from the Lord. God has already ministered to them that there is someone who needs this word. Now, when that person fuses their worship leading with that prophecy, with that word of knowledge, with that revelation, then the people are edified. And you can find people who say, oh, at times I don't get much from the word or from the preaching, but the worship blessed me. Why? Because the minister came prepared. The minister came to edify the body. So the second aspect is the distinction. Now, if you're not clear in your distinction, if you're not able to differentiate the sounds. And you can think about how the scriptures give us this aspect, and maybe let me just give us the scriptures for that. It is where in Numbers chapter 10, and you can read that later on, Numbers chapter 10 from verse 1 to 10, it's where God was instructing the Israelites about the trumpets. And he tells them, make two trumpets. And then he tells them that when the first trumpet is blown, then the leaders will come. When the two trumpets are blown, then together, then the leaders and the entire people will come. Then he says, the first advance, then the people on the east will begin their journey. The second advance, the people in the south will begin their journey. And then he says, when the assembly is together, you shall not blow, but not sound the advance. Now that means that they were given trumpets. They were told to make two trumpets, but each trumpet had a code. There was a distinction in the sound. And you see, one of the things that you must understand, that even if you go later on to verse 9, he also tells them that, okay, verse 8, it says that you shall blow, and when you are in war and the priests blow the trumpet, then I'm going to remember you and you're going to win the battle. So there is a time where the sound that you bring is a battle sound. As a worshiper, the sound that you bring is a battle sound. And then there are moments where it says that even when you will be enjoying, when in the day of your gladness, in the day of your appointed feast, at the beginning of your month, that means that at the beginning of your year, you're also supposed to release a sound. Now it says that at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices, and there shall be a memorial before you and to God. Now, there was a distinction in sounds, and that one you can read in Numbers 10 from verse 1 to 10, where you can see the Israelites were being told that, look here, you have two trumpets, but each of these trumpets has an aspect that they represent. There is something that they're going to release. When this sound comes, this is what it means. When this other sound comes, then this is what it means. Now, the Israelites were to be taught the code. Now, when there is a new sound of worship, you must understand that the season has shifted. When God gives you a new song, the season has shifted. Why? Because he's trying to explain to you that this is the beginning of your month. Raise a sound unto me. Raise a worship unto me. At the beginning of this season, raise something unto me. Now, these are things that we must understand. These are things that God wants us to understand. That there must be a distinction in the sounds, and you must constantly seek the voice of God, seek God to know what sound should I make at this point. Because if you don't make a clear sound, the Bible says, verse 8, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? That means that beyond just edification, beyond the clarity, the distinction in the sounds, then you need to make a clear call for battle. Now, this is the place of understanding. It says, unless the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, unless there is clarity, a clear sound, who will prepare for battle? I see people make worship songs and they make them so complex and no one is able to remember them. Yes, everyone will be like glued. They'll be like, okay, repeat, repeat, repeat. Those are trying to learn, will try to learn, learn, learn. But you see, if you want congregational worship, if you want people to worship with you, to not struggle with the words, but just connect, the simpler the songs, the easier it is. That is the ease of understanding. You see, verse 9, it says, so likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? Now, that means that if we don't make our songs, our worship, our expression unto God that we're leading people into easy to understand, then how will people understand what we are saying? We will just be speaking into the air. Then it also speaks about language. You can sing in multiple languages, yes, but what's the point of singing in so many languages that the person is a foreigner to? You understand? You're a foreigner. In fact, it says, if I come to you speaking in tongues and you don't understand, I am a foreigner to you. You're a foreigner to me. Now, you can be doing worship, yes, but it is good if you can translate. If you can make it accessible such that, yes, people are not foreigners. Yes, you're worshiping right. Yes, yes, God is the audience of your worship. Yes, God is magnified, is glorified. Yes, but people are watching you. People are observing you. And no one is getting edified. And we're speaking about worshipers that are going to make distinctions in the sound. Worshipers that are going to make a breakthrough. Worshipers that are going to profit the body, not just profit themselves, profit the body. And that is what we want. We want worshipers that are growing, worshipers that are going to profit the body. So we've spoken about edification. We've spoken about also the instruments, and maybe I haven't touched much on that, but you're saying lifeless things, whether it is a flute or the pipe, you know, they must make a distinction in the sounds. Now, you must know what is your instrument. What do I mean by that? There are some of you, your instrument is a guitar, your instrument is a saxophone, your instrument is a trumpet. For some of you, the instrument is your voice. For some of you, it's just clapping. For some of you, it's just making a joyful noise. Drama. What's your instrument? Your instrument is the aspect that God gave you that sets you apart, and that also you return and give it back to God. So when you understand your instrument, when you've made the distinction in the sounds, then you are able to know what purpose are you expressing the worship for. What purpose are you releasing that worship for? Then you move into the realm of excellence. Excellence is now the place that now sets you apart. You see, excellence is about diligence. Excellence is not just about learning or perfecting, but excellence goes beyond the point where it becomes a spirit of excellence. And when you think about Daniel, Daniel says he had a spirit of excellence. Joseph too had a spirit of excellence. Now, excellence is seen in all aspects. It's seen in your worship, it's seen in your singing, it's seen in your lyrics, it is seen in your dressing, because everything that you want to do, you want it to be done the right way. Now, our God is an excellent God. There is nothing that God has placed in disorder. I mean, the scientists will tell you, if the earth was to move an inch closer or farther away from the sun, if it's closer to the sun, we would burn. If it is farther away from the sun, we would freeze. Now, God shows us He's excellent. He weaved everything in creation through sound, and He shows us that excellence is what will distinguish the mediocre from those that are going to excel. Yes, you want to edify people. Yes, you want to profit the church. Yes, you want to make a distinction in the sounds. Yes, you've understood your instruments. Yes, you are going to, you know, you made it easy to understand. But then, can you do it with excellence? Now, when we know the God that we have, and the God that we serve, the God that we worship, then we are able to exercise the gifts that He has given us in the most excellent way. He has made us eternal excellences. He's already given us that ability to be excellent for Him and for His glory. And He says, if you're silent, the stones will cry out. Why should stones cry out when we that are made in His image are here? Now, distinction in the sounds. We've said sounds are used, you know, the first thing that was had in creation was the sound. God said, let there be light. Sound came, there was the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and the sound was released. Let there be light. Think about the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God comes to minister. God comes to visit Adam and Eve. The Bible says the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden. So it was a sound. It was the sound of God came walking in the garden. And that is the voice of God that Adam interacted with. Now you and I are going to experience and are going to know God through His voice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means when you're by the word of God, then you're going to hear the voice of God. You'll hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So distinction of sounds is about clarifying and being sure that the source that your worship is coming from is pure. Have you ever found people who, you know, one day they're singing from all this anointing, and then the next moment they're singing all this secular, and you're seeing this pool that is mixed up, this lukewarm pool, and all it does is that it pollutes. And that's you're saying, are you sure what is piped? What is the clarity? What is the ministration? What is the spirit that comes out of the sound that people release? God is calling us to a place of excellence. God is calling us to a place of consecration. God is calling us to a place where it moves, the exercise of our gifts moves beyond us to the place where we are edifying the church. When the right sound comes, the right sound is able to engage in spiritual warfare. We know about David. King Saul is tormented by demons, and they tell him, we know of a harpist, and when he comes, he will play, and you will be soothed. Now what happens when David comes? He plays, and the evil spirit leaves Saul. Now, that means that when you worship, and this is something, I mean, last year when we, by the grace of God, we were doing some crusades at the end of the year, and as people worship, you could see that there was deliverance. People, demons were coming out. In fact, the sound of the speakers was so loud that people who were in their homes were starting to manifest. Those that needed deliverance were starting to manifest right in their homes, until those people in their homes have to carry them and bring them to the crusade ground. Now that is to tell you that a sound went out, but that sound, this was not just a sound, it also carried the power of God. And that means that the worship that you can bring, when there's a distinction in sound, when you have excelled, then when you have brought in the Spirit of God and the power of God and joined yourself to Him, and you're releasing worship through Him, then that expression carries the power of God, and that power of God is able to deliver. Just as it brought deliverance to Saul, it's also able to bring deliverance to those that will listen, those that will hear us. And that is why some people say, when I heard that song, I was at peace. I relaxed. The atmosphere was right. I settled in. And that is what worship does. May God help us to understand that worship is for warfare. And not only just warfare, worship also ushers you into the prophetic. Think of Elisha. Elisha is like, the king is wondering what he will do. Then Elisha asks, bring me a harpist. And when the harpist plays, he says, okay, fine. Fill this, make trenches, fill them with water. And you know, all these enemies are going to be destroyed. And the Moabites were destroyed. Now, that is to tell you that worship is not just music. There is more to it. It calls us to the place of edification, that we will teach, we will bring revelation, we will bring prophecy, we will bring edification. It will call us to the place of a distinction in the sound. It will call us to the place of clarity, ease of understanding. It will call us to the place of excellence and diligence. But most important, it will call us to the place where we will carry the power of God. The power of God is necessary to demolish strongholds. The power of God is necessary to set people free, and the power of God is able to carry His miracles. I pray that God will manifest in your life. I pray that this year you shall experience a supernatural move of God through the sounds that come out of your voice, through the sound that comes out of your spirit. I pray that God shall give you prophetic dreams, prophetic worship, revelation songs, that God shall release a sound in you that shall distinguish you, that shall set you apart unto the nations, that your sound, as it goes forth, you shall be calling forth for the bride, and the bride and the spirit shall also call you back, and as a deep calls unto deep in the roar of your waterfall, in that noise that we cry out to God, and He also calls out to us. I pray that you shall experience it, and as you worshipers, wherever you are, that you shall experience a distinction in the sounds. I pray that God shall be with you and strengthen and watch over you. And you that you've lost your sound, may you find it. May it come back to you. May that song come back to you. Diligence. Take heart of what God has given to you. And God will fulfill his promises in your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I know that your word comes forth for a time and a season such as this, that Lord, you've called us to speak your word, to speak your truth, to bring revelation, to bring insight unto your people. And I thank you for everyone that has taken a moment to listen. That Lord, there is something that they have had, there is something that you've released in their life, and that indeed we are calling forth distinctions. We speak forth distinctions that nations shall call out to them, that nations shall hear them, even in places they never thought of. That there shall be things that shall come out of them. The power of God shall be accompanying in their worship, in their music, in their singing. And I pray for edification, that people shall be edified when we shall minister to them to the praise and glory of your holy name. I honor you and I adore you in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Dr. Emmanuel Sommer, and I'm glad that you have spent time in worship and in listening to this, and take time, listen to it again. I know that God will give you insight into this. Thank you for those that joined in. I've seen a number of people. I've seen Tyro Covenant watching all the way from the UK. God bless you. Clarence Luzani, God bless you. Havzvi Mukamuri, all the way from Vishavani, God bless you. I think I've also seen Cleo, Apostle Cleo, Cleophas Davaya. I've also seen Abia, all the way from Harare, Abia Shoko, God bless you. And everyone else who shall listen after this, I think at this point, I'm going to say my goodbye and have a blessed evening. Shalom.